We come to this story of Jesus teaching a man called Nicodemus. This is an incredibly significant encounter. It's the first time in John's Gospel that we hear the direct words of Jesus. So let's start with this man Nicodemus. This wasn't any old person off the street that Jesus was talking to. Nicodemus was an important person in Jewish society. He was one of the chief Pharisees, one of the top dogs of the Jewish ruling elite, who were responsible for guiding the people in all aspects of their life and their faith, particularly in overseeing the Jewish law. We read in this passage that Nicodemus came to Jesus at night time, and we get the impression that this is a private conversation away from the public. And the disciples don't even appear to be present. And his first statement helps us to understand something of this conversation. He says, "Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." And effectively what I think Nicodemus is doing is approaching Jesus as a Pharisee to question and figure out who Jesus really is. What's the purpose of Jesus' teaching and his actions? I suspect Nicodemus was both a bit inquisitive and drawn in by Jesus, but was also perhaps concerned and threatened that Jesus might lead people astray. The main topic of their conversation is what it means to be born again. This perhaps followed the baptism of Jesus that we read about in the first chapter, and the fact that the disciples were baptized before following Jesus. And baptism is very much a sign of dying to your old life and rising into a new life. Jesus tells Nicodemus, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. But Nicodemus struggles to understand what this actually means. He thinks about it far too literally, and Jesus goes on to say, you're Israel's teacher, the one people look to guide them in life and faith, and you don't understand this message. Jesus goes on again to explain a bit more clearly that the purpose of being born again is to enter into the kingdom of God and to receive the gift of eternal life, which only comes through faith in him. And this is summed up quite well in the really well-known verse that we find in this passage, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. But Nicodemus still would have struggled to get his head around all of this. As a Pharisee whose life was so ingrained in the teaching of the Jewish law, the idea of being saved simply by faith in Jesus and by grace would have sounded completely absurd to him. He was well and truly stuck in his ways. Interestingly, though, we read later in John's Gospel that after Jesus is crucified, Nicodemus is the one who assists another man, Joseph of Arimathea, in embalming the body of Jesus. This was a process that was part of the Jewish custom that normally people would receive, but actually this wouldn't normally happen at the burial of a criminal, someone who was crucified. But in John chapter 19, we read that Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea embalm the body of Jesus, and Nicodemus brings the spices for the embalming of the body, and these weighed about 100 pounds. This was far more than would have been used in the burial of a normal person. This was the amount that would have been used in a royal burial. We don't know whether Nicodemus ever made a commitment of faith, whether he was baptized and born again, but there is some change in his relationship with Jesus, from recognizing Jesus as a teacher in this first passage who did extraordinary things, to later on giving Jesus a royal burial. It appears to me that Nicodemus has come to know Jesus and has moved forward somewhat in his faith. As we hear about this encounter between Jesus and Nicodemus and understand something of Nicodemus' onward journey in a relationship that led him closer to knowing the fullness of who Jesus was, I want us to take a bit of time to consider what we really mean when we think about being born again. I have to say, I don't often use the phrase born again, and sometimes feel a little bit uncomfortable when I hear it used. It's a phrase that I've more often heard perhaps slightly older Christians use, and it normally sounds something like, I was born again in 1975 at a Billy Graham rally. But actually, I've never really heard many people of my generation use the phrase born again. And I think to some extent it's because over time it's become a phrase that sounds like Christian jargon that most unchurched people simply wouldn't recognise, and that they'd be a little bit confused, a bit like Nicodemus, at what being born again actually means. Not long ago, I was in Nottingham City Centre, and there was someone preaching, and he shouted the statement, "You must be born again!" And whilst I commend that person on their boldness to preach on the street, it grated with me somewhat, because I thought, actually, will the people around who he's talking to really understand what he means? And even using the phrase born again in this service today might instantly switch a few minds off. Because again, it's a phrase that perhaps we don't always associate with the right meaning, or perhaps with negative understandings. Yet compared to some other phrases that I would perhaps class as Christian jargon, this one actually has a very real, significant, and biblical meaning. And whilst someone in my generation might not talk about being born again, that doesn't mean that it hasn't happened. I would perhaps just word it differently. I came to faith as a child, or I decided to follow Jesus, or I became a Christian, or I was baptized. Some people might say that they were saved. What we actually mean by all of these phrases and in using the words born again is that we have a moment of awakening, a moment in our lives where we made a decision or a commitment to leave behind us our old ways and to give our lives to knowing and following Jesus. And the phrase born again really comes from the act of baptism. Jesus and his disciples all went through the waters of baptism and were also at some point baptized with the Holy Spirit. That's why this passage talks about the need to be baptized with water and with Spirit. Baptism by water is the physical, symbolic, and public expression of that decision to leave all that has gone before us behind and to be born again, to rise into a new life with Jesus. Whereas baptism by the Spirit is our spiritual baptism. It's the moment when God comes to live within us, so that we don't do this new life alone, but do it guided by God's presence continually with us. And baptism by the Spirit, I would argue, is not something that happens just once. I think we can be baptized by the Spirit each and every day. I do believe that it's this decision to leave our old lives and to follow, to be born again, that paves the way for us to receive eternal life. I believe strongly that God's love for us means that we don't need to achieve salvation, but it's a free gift found in relationship with Jesus. But I also believe that each person's journey and discovery of faith in Jesus is different. For some, like me, they're brought up in the Christian faith and perhaps don't actually remember a day when they made a commitment. For others, it's a very clear moment where their eyes are open to who Jesus is and they decide to follow him. For others, it's a more gradual journey of coming to know and live in relationship with Jesus. And then there's some mysteries that only God knows, like what happens to those who have never had an opportunity to follow Jesus? And what happens to those who reject him? We'll have our views on that, I'm sure. I personally trust God to sort that out and recognize that God is both loving and compassionate, as well as being judge of all. But what I really want to talk about this morning, it's not this moment of coming to faith and being born again that I'm sure many of us will have as part of our testimony, but actually what follows this second birth. It's not just about being born again, but how we live after we are born again. And I want to make a few suggestions. That being born again is a daily decision, not just a one-time commitment. By this, I don't mean that we make the decision to become a Christian every day, but rather that the commitment to following Jesus is a continual process. Just as many of us will have had a moment when we can point to the day we came to faith, we all also have a physical birthday, the day that our mothers gave birth to us. I'm sure most of us, if not all of us, will know the date that we were born. We will celebrate that date each year and may even know some of the gory details of what happened to bring us into the world. And unless you've lost it, most of us will have a birth certificate, which is proof that we were born in a particular place at a particular time to certain parents. In his commentary, Tom Wright uses this analogy of being born physically and having a birth certificate. And he says that whilst we might need a birth certificate to prove the day that we were born and the date that we were born and the place that we were born, we don't need anything to prove the fact that we were born. The very fact that we are standing here as a living, breathing being proves our existence and our life. And the point that Tom Wright makes is that our birth is not the end of our being. It's the beginning of all that lies ahead. It's the start of the life that follows with all its ups and downs, good and bad moments, with all the things we encounter and learn along the way and all the other lives that we meet and impact through our words and our actions. Our birth is the start of a much greater journey. Yes, we mark our birthdays once a year, but we're alive every day, and the actions of each day are really the things that shape who we are and what we become. As Christians, it's easy to read a passage like this one that talks about being born again and perhaps to reminisce about how we came to faith, our conversion. And that's a good thing to do because it's part of our testimony, it's part of our story with Jesus. But what about all the other days, all the other weeks, all the other months, all the other years that followed? What about today? You see, when the disciples were baptized, when they were born again, it marked the start of a journey that they were about to embark on of following Jesus, a radical journey that would lead them from the highest mountaintop to the darkest valley and back. It was a journey filled with joy and with sacrifice. And it was a journey all about discovering the way, the truth, and the life that's found in Jesus. I've come across quite a number of Christians who live in the past when it comes to faith. I used to preach a lot around South Wales when I was doing my training, and the amount of times I heard people reminiscing about the Welsh revival and how the Spirit of God moved and there were hundreds of people in the church. And then I look around at this small congregation of 15 people over the age of 75 and wonder what's happened. Similarly, I've heard people talking about Billy Graham rallies or the days they spent at Spring Harvest in Minehead or Skeggy, and not just remembering these times, but living in them and wanting to some extent recreate those experiences today. I hear people thinking back to past glories of mission trips or summer camps, and didn't we see something of the glory of God at those places? And so I'm not picking on everyone else. I've grown up in the soul survivor generation. The encounters we had of the Holy Spirit at those soul survivor camps, the numbers of young people who came to faith. Wouldn't it be great to see God move like that again? Our life and faith as disciples is not simply based on one decision to follow. It shouldn't just be grounded in one encounter or one defining moment which shapes the rest of our life. We shouldn't be trying to recreate the old ways by which thousands of people came to faith 10, 20, 50, 100 years ago. Instead, we should be recognizing that God is still at work today, that he doesn't want to recreate those old moments. Rather, God wants to do something new in the here and now, in your life today, in this church today. And he wants to use me and you to do it. We might have a Christian birthday, the day when we made a decision to follow Jesus, and that's really important, but that was simply the start of our journey and of a lifetime of knowing and following and serving Jesus. Faith is a daily decision to follow and not just simply a one-time commitment made years ago. Then secondly, being born again is a process of growth, not a standing still. One of my greatest joys in life at the moment is watching Megan and Eliza grow up. They're at that young age where they develop so quickly, and each day they're discovering and learning new things. For them, the world is such an exciting and new place, and spending time with them leads me to see the world in that way as well. Each day is a journey of growing and learning and discovering. I personally don't get as excited as they do about going on a soft play. That's because I've been on many soft plays in my life. But they get so excited. They see it all for the first time. Each day is a journey of discovery. And it's amazing to see their little personalities start to show and their particular skills and abilities developing, and to realize how two people from the same genetic line can be so different. Again, as I've already said, our Christian birthday, when we were born again, is the start of that voyage of discovery, of faith. We're not meant to stay spiritual babies, just as we don't remain physical babies forever. We're born to grow, to learn how to love God, to learn how to hear his voice, to discover what we're good at and use those gifts in serving God and in helping others. We're born to grow in our understanding of the world and to realize how our unhelpful words and actions cause damage to the world and to the lives of others. And today on Racial Justice Sunday, we're seeking to grow by acknowledging the way we mistreat others, sometimes without even realizing it, and learning how we might show love to everyone and treat everyone with equal value and respect. When Jesus called the disciples to follow him, they didn't know him all that much, and most of them were fishermen. That's all they knew how to do. And Jesus spoke to them in a way that they might understand by saying, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Over time, they listened to the voice of Jesus. They began to understand him. They learned to trust him. And yes, they made some mistakes. Yes, they had doubts, and some of them betrayed him. But they also saw the glory of God revealed. They were involved in caring for the poor, healing the sick, and miraculously feeding the hungry. They grew in their trust of Jesus and in their faith of what's possible in him. Today I want us to consider where we're at in faith. Are we standing still? Is our faith stuck in the 1980s at a Billy Graham rally or at a university faith group? Perhaps not. Perhaps it's a more recent experience of feeling stuck in faith. Perhaps your faith is stuck pre-lockdown and your relationship with God went on hold with the rest of life and has never really got going again. Let's not stand still. Being born again is a process of growth and discovery. It's a spiritual upbringing. And this leads nicely into my final suggestion, that being born again is the start of a process of turning towards God and not falling away. People fall away from faith for so many reasons, whether that's that life gets so busy and tough that faith takes a back seat and isn't prioritized over other things, or whether that is that they get stuck in faith at some point and begin to question whether God's still at work today, or whether sin comes into their life and leads them away from God, whether it's the influence of society and culture around us that's in many ways anti-Christian in some ways. Despite all of these reasons from falling away from faith, God is always calling us back, and we can choose to continue traveling in a wayward direction, or we can choose to return to him. I was reading a passage from Zechariah chapter 1 the other day, and it really resonated with this point. It says this: "The Lord was very angry with your ancestors. Therefore, tell the people, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Return to me, declares the Lord, and I will return to you. Return to me, and I will return to you." This is God speaking to his people and telling them not to be like those who fell away from him, but to return to him and have a fresh start. We often think of being born again as this one-time occasion when we became a Christian. But I'm actually reminded of the disciples who, having followed Jesus for 3 years, found themselves waiting in a room on the day of Pentecost for the gift Jesus had promised to them before ascending into heaven. We read that like a blowing of a violent wind, the Holy Spirit blows through the room and breathes new life into them. They're filled with the Holy Spirit and off they go out into the world to make disciples and to build the church. But what we need to remember is just a few days earlier, before this experience, not long after the death and resurrection of Jesus, the disciples found themselves back out in their boats fishing again. They'd returned back to what they knew. They'd fallen away rather than stepping into the new plans Jesus had for them. They'd got stuck. But Jesus met them in that stuck place, and he instructed them of what to do. And he told them to wait on his Holy Spirit. And he guided them once again into new life and a new opportunity to follow and serve him. You could say that the day of Pentecost, the filling of the Holy Spirit, was another baptism of the Holy Spirit. They were born again in the Holy Spirit into the new things that God had for them. The wonder of the resurrection of Jesus, the fact that he didn't stay dead but came back to life, tells us that we're never truly dead and buried, that there's no place that we can go or fall where Jesus can't reach us and redeem us and lift us up. And through the Holy Spirit, we can be born again each day into the new purposes and plans God has in store for us. As I bring all this together, I want to return to Nicodemus. Why didn't Nicodemus understand what Jesus was saying? Well, a bit like us, I think he found it quite easy to be stuck in the past, fixated on the Jewish law, on controlling the society and world around him, that he was incapable of recognizing Jesus as the Son of God who had come to fulfill the law and redeem society and save the world. At the start of this passage, Nicodemus doesn't recognize Jesus as the Son of God, but as a teacher sent by God. He doesn't see the fullness of the power of Jesus, and because of that, he doesn't fully trust him or understand his message. Whether we've been a Christian for 40 years, or whether we've never taken that step to be born again, a great place to start is by asking yourself the top question here. Who is Jesus to me? Do I recognize him? Do I know him? Am I following him? And if not, how can I get to know him more? But then we might want to also consider some of the other questions raised this morning. Is my faith alive today? Or is it stuck in the past? Am I making a daily decision to follow Jesus, to grow in faith, to have a spiritual upbringing, to use my gifts in serving him? Have I fallen away? And do I need to return to God and ask him to find me and redeem me and lift me up? He welcomes us back.